Last week. Let's just jump into the message, Carmen.
So we're talking about 2013 Church of Champions. And this is actually our last week to be able to share on this series. And we do want to encourage you next Sunday. We will have Pastor Amanda with us all the way from Australia. And she's a great woman of God who always brings a fantastic prophetic word in season and in time for us. And so she travels around the world. And as she goes into different churches, different countries, different states, different nations, she brings a word of God, and I believe something incredible is going to shift in our presence next Sunday, so I don't want you to miss what's about to happen. So this is our last week, 2013, Church of Champions. We prayed over each letter, believing God that he would speak a prophetic word on what he wants to do in this particular house in 2013. And so whatever we share when it's for a particular, when it's for our particular church, you understand that it's for us corporately, but it's also for you as an individual. So it's like you have to listen to it with two ears. Listen with one ear for us as a family this morning. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm so glad you're part of my family.
I'm so glad you're part of my family.
So you listen with one ear, and that's for the family of God. That's for this particular house, Global Connections Church. And then you listen with another ear, and that ear is for your personal life, for your personal family, your personal situation. And so each letter, as we've spelt out, I'll go over it briefly. If you haven't been here with us, I encourage you to get the CD, as it's going to help you really transition into this next year and what God wants to do in our midst in 2013. The letter C was on confession, and the Holy Spirit spoke to us and said, whatever you confess, you will possess. And so it's time. I know we have heard lots about confession. We've heard lots about the power of the tongue, but something's shifting this year over us where it has a different kind of power. I believe there'll be a greater revelation that will come to our heart, which will then ignite the power that what comes out of our mouth will actually begin to happen. The letter H in Champions is happiness. And you heard me share how I thought happiness was kind of a weak word to put in this. And God said to me, you know, look it up and see what it means. And the word happy actually means to be in a state of happiness where you cannot be moved or you cannot be shook, and where you now begin to enter in to a promised land. And so the word champion, as we shared on happiness, there's something that God is doing, not just where you have a happy moment or you feel happy, you know, in a particular situation, but your whole state of being becomes happy. How many would like to be happy 24/7?
Hey.
How many would like a happy spouse 24/7? Okay. And so, you know, you can stick up your hand. That's all right. And so, you know, there's a state of happiness that's coming to us. The letter A in Champions was alignment. And what that means is that sometimes people can be close to the will of God or close to what God's wanting to do, and they simply need a little alignment. It doesn't mean that they're way off track, they're in a ditch, they're somewhere far away. No, it means they're close to what God is trying to say, or they're close to what God is trying to do, but there needs to be an alignment. Like a wheel alignment on a vehicle stops your vehicle from shaking, there needs to be an alignment that begins to take them forward into the actual destiny that God has for their life. Last week we shed on the letter M. Paint your M red, was on the multitudes. The Bible says that in the valley of decision, there are multitudes and multitudes of people. And so people are the heartbeat of God. Everything that we do is about people. Turn to the person beside you and say, I see that you are a person.
I see you're a person.
So we are people in this house, and yet it's not just about just us in this house. It's about the multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. And so every time you see the letter M and you see it red, that's to remind us that we do not just exist for ourselves. We do not just do things just because that's the way we like it. It is about people.
Yes.
It's about other people and affecting other people's life with the gospel. The letter P in Champions was prosper. And God said that this year he's going to take the stigma off the word prosper. And how believers, sometimes Christians, have actually painted the word prosper and put an evil and kind of a nasty conflict over this word. And they began to see prosper as something that was negative, or the word prospering or the word prosperity as something that was negative. And yet God says, I'm redeeming my own word, because the word is filled with the word prosper, prospering and prosperity. Now, to prosper means more than just money, but it does include money. But it means that your whole life, every single aspect of your life is prospering and going forward. And in 2013, this is what God is doing in our midst. As he says, I want to prosper my people. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm so glad.
I am so
glad. I'm sitting beside someone.
I am beside
who's prospering.
Someone who is prospering.
The letter I in Champions is intimacy. And we spoke last week about intimacy with God. And James chapter 4 verse 8 says, if you draw near to God, that God will draw near to you. And so we understand that our intimacy with God, our close walk with God, is determined by the steps that we take forward towards God. And in 2013, that we are going to get closer to God than we have ever been before in our life. And so I believe every year should get better, every year should get greater, but there is something significant that God is doing in our midst in 2013 that is going to take us into such a closer relationship with God and with his word and with his spirit, that we are going to be changed from the inside out, and something incredible is going to happen in our midst. And so that leads us this morning to the letter O. So this morning we're talking about the letter O in Champions, and the letter O this morning is offerings. And as I was praying about this word and praying about what God would speak to us, I believe the Holy Spirit said that this year in 2013, we will actually receive the largest offerings that we've ever received in this house. And that can sound kind of scary, but I believe that when we understand, if we are a people who can give large offerings, then we are a people who have something to give. And so you cannot give what you do not have. And so therefore, in order for us to be people who can give big offerings, guess what? God has got to pour out something incredible upon us so then we can then give again. And so 2013, things are shifting where we will understand the power of the offering, the purpose of the offering to a new level, and we will see the rewards of the offering. And it's one thing for me to get up here and share with you the principles of the word and share what God says. And it's a total another thing for you to experience the manifestation of God's word working on your behalf. And I believe the Spirit of God would say to us in 2013, I am shifting where you will begin to actually see the word work for you when it comes to your offerings. Malachi 3, 8 to 10, I shared it this morning in the tithe message. And yet most churches only talk just about the tithe portion. And the reason why they do that is because 80% of the church worldwide doesn't tithe. So I believe people don't even bother teaching about offerings because they're just trying to get the body of Christ to the place where they tithe. But God said we are a different kind of house. We are not a normal kind of place. We don't have to just focus on just one part, because Malachi 3, 8 to 10 says, you've robbed me in what? Tithes and offerings. And so the offering begins after the tithe has already been received. And yet there is something different in this house that God will raise us up to fund the gospel and to see people saved in an incredible way. And so God said this is the year that the power of the offering will be unleashed. God takes our offerings and he turns them into souls. The gospel goes forth in a greater way, and more people are saved and more people are set free. And that is what it's all about. And so oftentimes people will make the comment, they'll say, well, I'll be able to give offerings when I make more money. And I believe that the more we make, the more we can give. But I also believe we have to start where we are. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says this, he who is faithful in the very little thing will be faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest or unjust in the very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. And so we understand that as we're faithful with the small amount, that God understands, hey, there's a person that I can trust. There's someone who knows my word. It's already activating my word. So there's someone I can pour out the greater or the much upon it. Just lift your hand this morning to heaven and say, God, I give you permission to pour out the much.
I give you permission on my life.
Because I'll be faithful
with the little
that you've given me right now.
You have given me
in Jesus' name.
So increase.
Increase comes to us after we give our offerings. Tonight I'm going to share in the message tonight what kind of offerings restore what has been stolen or robbed from your life. So tonight, that's what I'm going to share. It's what kind of offerings actually restore that which has been stolen, because oftentimes we feel that there are things, opportunities, or finances that have been robbed or stolen from us, and what kind of offerings actually release that. But this morning, I want to simply share with you about how increase comes after you give your offerings. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 in the Message Bible says it this way: give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely just given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. So I like this particular version because it says it will be given back with a bonus and a blessing. And I believe 2013, the Holy Spirit said there are bonuses coming to my people. Yes. And when you think of the word bonus, I mean, what kind of comes to your mind when you just think of that word bonus? I mean, oftentimes when we think of bonus, we think of something over and above, something more than what we expected, something that came at an unexpected time, something that came to us for free, something that came to us that was not based on our hourly labor, but something that came above that. And God says, I want to give my people bonuses this year. Luke chapter 6, 38 in the New Living Translation says it this way: give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. And so the offering's return comes to you. It says, pressed down, shaken together, and making room for more. That means when you go to fill something, oftentimes you can fill it and walk away. But if you want to make sure that thing is totally full, you fill it with something and then you shake it. You push something down. How many know, ladies, if you're packing a suitcase to go on a trip, you can really get some stuff in there. I mean, you can pack that baby so full. I mean, I've sat on it. Put, you know, borrowed people, you sit on it. We're going to Haiti. We get our 50 pounds, don't we, girls? In every single bag, they weigh it. 50.5, next one, 50.5, next one, 50.5, because you can have the extra 0.5 for free. And we will have people sitting on those bags because we will get every single thing pressed down, shaken together, and sometimes sticking outside the zipper, running over, because we want to get the maximum capacity. And that's what God says he does with our offerings. Is he wants to bring it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and making room for more. And I want to encourage you this morning as we enter into, as we've started 2013, the Church of Champions, this is the year 2013 where we are going to sow in a greater capacity, but we are going to activate the manifestation of the reaping principle and see such a reaping that we have never seen before.
When you hear something from God and he gives you a direction and says, this is what I'm going to do for you, you don't sit back and wait for it. You press into it. And the number one way that you press into it is through his word. Learn about it. Change our core belief systems. So if we hear these things from God over the church, then we must teach on those things. According to our believing, it should be added to us. The amount of study that you give to a particular topic is the amount of virtue that flows back to you in accordance with that topic. So there's certain things we'll be teaching and releasing so our faith can grow. So we're not doing things out of religion. We're doing things out of reality and faith and experiential growth in God. And so when we have a look at the offering, we look at what God's doing through the offering. I like Paul. Paul spoke to the Philippian churches and he said in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Paul was talking about their need. It was more than just need. It was desire, wants, everything that you have, that you have a yearning for and a hope and an expectation for. That's what that word means. And God shall supply all your need. He is the supplier. He is the one that fulfills. So what are your needs? What are your desires? What are your dreams? What are your goals? If you have no dreams, goals, desires, you just get little supply. I have big goals, big dreams, big desires, so I have big needs. So God's going to supply big to me because I've put myself in that position, and that's for everyone in this place. Keep dreaming, keep believing, keep focusing on what God's taking to you, because it will always be bigger than who you are. And this is how we grow. But God wants to give it according to his riches and glory. And when you go up to a king thinks differently than someone who's one of the servants of the king, or someone who's out in the land and working the fields. The king is sitting in his palace, and he's surrounded by the wealth of the kingdom, his domain. And you walk, get a picture of someone coming out of the potato patch and going up to the king, and he's thinking of potatoes, and the king is thinking of dominion, of lands and other territories. And the potato guy comes up with the potatoes and his little potato patch. So his perspective is potato patch, but the king's perspective is lands, dominion, countries. And so from his perspective, he supplies. So when we come to God, we don't come according to our perspective. We come and say, your perspective is greater. So we can have an expectation that there's so much more that he can do for us and give to us. Now, when that belief system is shared with us, we go, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, our mind starts opening up and we start believing for more. Then we start receiving more. But let's have a look at the context of this verse. Because we have the power. We have the ability to open the heavens. We don't just have to wait for God to do something and you're not doing anything, God. You're not doing anything, God. Well, it's our move on the chessboard. And Paul said this when he was talking to the Philippians, the same verses, but let's go back a few verses. Back to verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. He's saying, not that I need it, I want it, or I'm seeking money and gifts from you, or that my needs be met. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. These are investment terms. He's actually speaking investment terms to them. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He's saying, this is in Australian language, or Canadian, hopefully. He's saying, guys, you gave, now you're the only ones that entered into giving and receiving with me. That's a two thing. You're not just giving, you're receiving. He says, I'm not just looking at what I'm getting from you. I'm looking at what you're going to receive. And he says, you've entered into this as a group of people. You've entered into it. And he wasn't specifically talking about himself. He was talking about the ministry of the word, supplying for the gospel, going out to the world. Then he said this wonderful verse. That's the context of this verse. It was pleasing to God. In verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When he was speaking to them, he was talking terms of investing. And when we invest, well, there's no greater way to invest than invest in God's kingdom, in God's principles, is sowing into his mission on planet Earth, is to fulfill the gospel. When you look at just an earthly investment, if you had have given $200 into McDonald's when it was a small cap, when it was a starting out company, $200 into that McDonald's, today you would have over $1 million in your bank account just with an investment of $200. If you had have, that's just McDonald's. Here's a better investment. If you had have in 1986, I was 16 years old, in 1986, if you had to put $100 into Walmart with no further investment, today you would have $3.9 million. With a $100 investment, and now you would have $3.9 million. But when Paul was talking to them about giving and receiving, that he was speaking investment terms, because God is the original Jew. He's an honoring business partner. He is not a thief. He's not a man that he would lie. He will not steal. He honors covenant. He is the best king. He is the greatest domain owner. When you sow into God's kingdom, you do receive back. And you don't just receive back, it's an investment far greater than any earthly investment, far greater than. Now, why am I teaching you this? Because you need to believe it. Because you won't receive it if you don't believe it. If you're not taught this in church, you're not going to believe it and you're not going to receive it. You'll just say, well, I'll just keep investing in McDonald's every Sunday. No return, except what you see here. Eternal principle. What you give when God says to give, you are given back more in return. Philippians 4:19 out of the Message Bible says, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity exceeding yours. That means when you give, he exceeds coming back. His generosity to giving and receiving. Philippians 4:19 in the Amplified Bible. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How? According to his principles. Very briefly, I want to go through some more biblical examples of the sowing and reaping or giving and receiving or investing and return principle that's in the Bible. This is a heavenly principle. We are heavenly people. We're not of this earth. We enter into God's kingdom principles as Christians. We're not of this earth. The Bible says we're of God's kingdom. Let me show you the first mention. Very powerful to go to the law of first mention in the Bible. Adam gave a rib. He received an Eve. There's around 206 bones in a body. So he gave one bone and got 206 back, plus some pretty nice looking flesh on top of it, and a nice and a smart mind and a cute personality. It's all about the mind. Valentine's Day. Okay, so he gave, he received. The woman, so that was in Genesis chapter 2. In 1 Kings 17 verse 12, this is a principle activated. A woman who had need, was in famine, she was going to die. She had just enough oil to make a cake and enough grain to make a cake. And a prophet came past and says, hey, give me some of that grain and oil. And so she split some of it and gave it to him, and then she was going to cook the rest and die. Well, when she gave it to the prophet who was doing God's work, what happened was for her, that oil kept multiplying and grain kept, the story is in 1 Kings 17 verse 12 to 16. That one little cake, that one little bit of investment into the kingdom multiplied back the return. You've got to look at the returns according to his riches and glory, according to God's dominion, not the little potato patch. Stop looking at God from your little paper potato patch mentality. Look from kingdom dominion. He wants to supply according to his riches and glory. Isaac sowed and reaped 100 times when he went in obedience back into the territory of Canaan. In Genesis chapter 26, 12, he sowed seeds into a field and got back 100 times the amount of seeds he sowed. There's a farmer in the Bible. This is biblical principles. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. A sower sows seed and returns back 30, 60, and 100 fold. Someone say investment. We invest in God's kingdom. This is a spiritual principle. I'm living this principle. It's proven, it's truth. And in Matthew 16, 25, if you give up your earthly life, 120 years, you give an eternal life. You sow your 120 measly little years and you get given eternity. This is sowing and reaping. It's a principle. It works with money, it works with everything. But it's offerings, we're talking about that. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he invested his son into this economy. What a bad investment. No, it wasn't. God knew what the answer was going to be. He invested his son into an economy because his rich treasure, he saw the rich treasure when he invested. He wasn't a foolish investor. He invested in a rich economy, which was humanity. And he invested his best gift. And it multiplied back multitudes and multitudes of souls. This is a principle of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, or investing and a return. It's a principle of the Bible. It's all related to offerings. And we're going to be sharing on this year. And as you learn it and understand it and grow in faith, you will start to receive more from God's perspective instead of a little potato patch mentality. So that's what I believe for this church this year.
2013 Church of Champions, confession, happiness, alignment, multitudes, prosper, intimacy, offerings. And the letter N this morning is name. And I believe it's not just name, it's national name. And this is where God says, I want to make your name great, or I want to make your name national. And oftentimes what happens is people think about a name and they think about what can God do with the name. And we live in a society where people think, well, you know, in Alberta or in Canada, I mean, you know, it's not important for your name to be great. But, you know, in Genesis 12:2, God was speaking to Abraham. And we are descendants of Abraham. And that which he spoke to him, he speaks to us. And he said, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And I will make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing to dispense good to others. Or another version says, you will be blessed to be a blessing. And so God says, I want to make your name great this year. I want to do something incredible where your name becomes national. And I believe he's speaking to us that corporately as a body this morning, but obviously it applies to you as an individual. And when you think of your name or the name of the house becoming national, where God begins to use it in a national way, you can think, how is that possible? But I was thinking about Mary in the Bible. And I was thinking about Mary who poured the oil on Jesus' feet. And as she was just worshiping God and she pours the oil on Jesus' feet, she didn't know for all of history her name would now become famous. She didn't know that year after year and generation after generation, they would be talking about that offering and that worship that she had gave that day when she poured the perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. God made her name great. And so what God does is he takes you living for him. He takes what you think is normal, what you think is small, and he begins to make your name great. Yes. And he begins to make it national. Why? So that you can be blessed to be a blessing. So that you can help people. Why does God want to make a person's name national or international or famous? Why does God want to make a church's name national? Because he wants you to be able to pave a way for others to come into the kingdom. Genesis chapter 12 verse 2 in the New Living Translation says it like this: I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Turn to the person beside you this morning and say, I know my life is going to be a blessing to others. You are blessed to bless others. You are blessed to influence other people for God. You are blessed to influence other people for the kingdom of God. And God says in 2013, I'm going to make your name, Global Connections Church, national, so that you can be a greater blessing to this nation, that you can be a greater blessing to the people of this land, and then from this land go forward into other lands. You will be blessed to be a blessing church.
When you have a look at a name, you might say, well, this is just a little bit out there saying you're going to have a great name. Let's look at Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus was given a name above every name, and that his name was exalted to the highest place so that we could use that name for his glory. Every demon shall bow, every tongue shall confess, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every demon shall flee. There is great authority in that name. How did that great authority come? It came through Jesus, the cross, every situation. And so the reason why there is an elevation of the name is so that someone can use that name for good. Jesus needed to be elevated so that his disciples and us today could work with that elevated name. It took a great price for his name to be the greatest name. But that was given to us now, all authority through his name. That is why it's important to have a good name. That is why God doesn't mind names being elevated. Now, I want to give you the key of how your name can be elevated and you don't get destroyed. The word is humility, great humility. So I'm giving you a powerful key here that will let God elevate your name personally and allow this church to be elevated as a church name. The leaders in the church, everyone on teams, we must understand that there's great humility must be embraced in our lives so that we can carry this in with honor. I was watching Joel Osteen on a YouTube thing, and he was asked these questions, and I'm like, man, this guy is answering with such grace and dignity. And the church that he comes from, they say the name of the church and in that city, and there's just people, there's a great name. And I know people are starting to notice the name of this church in town here. As you say, I'm from Global Connections. They're like, oh, that's that church that gives away cars at Christmas. That's a church. You can use that name if you're using it for good. There's no problems with that. And that's why God wants to elevate it. God wants this. So it says in Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. We've got to understand humility or this will kill us. And that's why it says before that verse, just before that verse, I love looking at contexts, how this happened. It's so important. In humility, a few verses before, in Philippians 2:5 to 11, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus is setting us up so we can carry his name to the nation. Let this mind be in you, church, in 2013, which was in Christ when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That basically translates, he didn't think, well, it's my right. I'm the son of God. I'm equal with God. No, he was so humble. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It's not about reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. Listen, the king came out of his castle and went down into the potato patch and dug potatoes. The king of glory. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. Do you see the context of this? That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. I just quoted that before. And those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and the glory of God and the Father. Just the study of this verse just shares and shows why Jesus' name was elevated and how we can carry it. And we must press into humility so we can carry the name with honor and glory. And as the church rises in significance in the nations, if we do it humbly and we walk in humility in the fear of the Lord, we won't blow a tire. We won't run off the road. We won't get caught in all these sidesteps and all this junk. We will be an image of what God wants us to be on the planet. So this is a promise to you as a church, and personally, and also us corporately. If we will step into humility, God will elevate the name. And we can use that name, God's name, Jesus' name, and work through that and bring many people into kingdom.
So 2013, Church of Champions, confession, happiness, alignment, multitudes, prosper, intimacy, offerings, name. And then the last one this morning in Champions is the word scholars. 2013, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke that this is our big year of growth. When I say the word growth, obviously people think of all different kinds of things, but I'm talking about growth in you this morning. Growth in me, that we are going to grow in an incredible way. It's a 2013 is your big year of growth. Growth is not automatic. Have you ever noticed that? Growth is not automatic, and growth doesn't just come because you grow older. Has anyone ever noticed that? Okay, has anybody met somebody who's pretty foolish and they're young? Come on, you've met some, more than you have met someone. Okay, how many of you have met somebody who's old and they're still really foolish? Okay, so that shows that growth does not come because of age. Just getting older doesn't make you wiser. You may have gray hair, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have the wisdom. Right. And growth is not automatic, that just because you are, just because you're still alive, you automatically grow. No, growth happens because you choose to grow. That is how growth happens. Turn to the person beside you this morning and say, I choose to grow. The word scholar means this: a learned person, especially one with knowledge in a particular subject, a student, a pupil, a student who has been awarded a scholarship. This is what the word scholar means: a learned person, a student, or a pupil. And I believe in 2013, we take back on the position of being a student, of being a pupil, of being a learned person, someone who's growing and developing. We understand that readers become leaders. We understand that learners become earners. And we understand that scholars get scholarships. And God is speaking to us this year that 2013 is your big growth year. And so 2012, you might have learned some things, and some people might be frustrated that you should have learned more than what you feel like you did. But 2013 is your big growth year. And we are going to grow as a body, as well as we are going to grow individually in an incredible way. Yes. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says this: "The wise hear them and grow in wisdom, and those with understanding gain knowledge." And so we are going to become a people of wisdom who begin to grow and develop in incredible wisdom. Ephesians 1:17 says, "Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God." God wants us to continually grow. And we have to remind ourselves, growth is not automatic. Growth doesn't just happen. You know, we can lay hands on people when it comes to sickness and get them healed, but we cannot lay hands on someone and just have them grow. It doesn't happen that, you know, I just impart growth to you. You're going to leave the same way you came in. Growth happens because of a choice that we embrace a time of learning and we embrace a time to really grow. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 is talking about Jesus. And it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and he grew in favor with both God and man." And this is speaking particularly of Jesus. Before he went to the cross, it spoke about his life. And this is our life now. And this is what I believe for the church this morning, Global Connections Church. You will grow in wisdom and in stature. You will grow in favor with God, and you will grow in favor with man. 2013 is our big growth year, and we need to begin to embrace it again, take on the status of a student again, take on the status of a pupil again, take on the status of a scholar again. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke that we will learn more this year than we learned in the last 5 years combined. So if you look back on the last 5 years of your life and you think about how much your life has changed and how much you've learned and how much your mind has been renewed and how much your thinking has changed and how much you now know about the Word that you didn't know about the Word 5 years ago, that God says, in this year, you will grow more than in the last 5 years combined. And I believe we have to stretch forth and we need to say, God, this is my big growth year, and I receive it. He says, "I will teach you incredible things far greater than you could have ever imagined." This morning, just lift your hand to heaven for a moment this morning, and I want us to just receive this word this morning. I want you to say, God,
I receive
that 2013
is my
big growth year.
Big growth year.
I receive that I'm going to grow.
I'm going to develop.
I'm going to grow in wisdom.
I will grow in wisdom.
I'm going to grow in stature.
I will grow in stature.
I'm going to grow in favor.
I am growing in
with
favor
you,
with you
and with man.
And with
and
men.
I thank you.
And I thank
that
you
I'm going to learn more.
I am going to learn
this
more
year
this year
than I have.
Than I have
in the last 5 years.
In the last
combined.
5 years combined.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So why would you want to learn? Why would I want to read a book? Why would I want to learn? So your eyes are open. So you see truth. And so you're not walking in the dark. So you're not kicking your toe every time you step. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp so I don't hurt myself every day. And my path, I know my vision, future, destiny. I have a big perspective. So you have your eyes open. So you have answers of why your life is going the way it is. Have you ever thought, why is my life like it is? Why aren't my prayers getting answered? How come this happened? How come that happened? Why is it? God will download in advance all the answers as you study to show yourself approved, a good workman or woman, rightly dividing the word of truth, bringing the truth. Do you know where there's no truth? There's deception. A bunch of us Christians in the body of Christ are in darkness. Darkness. Still born again creature, but in darkness. Where there's no Bible, there's no truth. Where there's no truth, there's no light. And where there's no light, there's darkness. But you turn that light on and all the darkness goes away. A Christian that spends 2 weeks out of the Bible has been living in darkness. What is this darkness? Self-deception. The reason I study is because I know I'm easily self-deceived. I'm a self-contained carbon unit with free will and my own mind and will and my opinions, which stink like armpits. Everyone has them. Two of them at least. And they're all wrong. Did you know you're wrong 99% of the time? It's like when they got Armstrong and went to the moon and they had to correct that thing thousands of times just so that poor little rocket ship would land on the moon and hit there. It was continually in correction. The word correction is simply realignment. We've been over that, point number three. But God wants to daily teach us and prepare us for the future. There's a Bible verse in Proverbs that says, wisdom cries out, help me. Come on, come on, come to me, wisdom is crying out. But wisdom also says, those who don't take part in me, when your life falls in foolishness, wisdom will turn from you, it will laugh at you. It doesn't literally laugh, but it will laugh. It will say, you had the opportunity to get your eyes open. Why do we study? So we're not walking blindly. So you know, we can. I've talked to people at times and I thought, they're just not getting it. And I've very humbly just agreed with them. I don't know if that's love. But sometimes we don't cast our pearls before whatever. Because people don't get it because they're walking in darkness, because they don't read the word and they don't hear the voice of God in the word, which gives us revealing. Revelation is apocalypsis. It's an opening. It's a revealing. It's a light shining in, like a massive light going into our lives. It's like getting the sun and a beam. Whoa, I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. I see all obstacles. I've been hit with the light. You know, Moses went up on the mountain and he was with God and he came down and his face shone, but he had to put a veil over it because the shining went away. Every time we come into God's presence, we start to get a bit of a shine happening. We read the word, revelation hits and you start shining. How? What's this? What is it? You start seeing clearly. You start making right decisions. But then you walk away from that, you start to lose the shine. The luster goes off. This year, we're going to keep growing. We're going to be stewards of that growth. We are going to start to seek and be a scholar of the word. We're going to know the word. John 1:1. Where did I get all that preaching from? I got it from this verse. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You have a life in you that is also light. You think, what does that mean? The life in you is your spirit. And the Bible says in Proverbs that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The spirit in you is life. And there is also a light, is a path. When you feed it with the word, you will start to see clearly and walk in life. I've seen people here that I've counseled and their lives have gone into travesty and trouble. And I've said, just get back into the Bible. And months later, their lives turn around because they're walking in the light. 1 John 1:7 to 9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. Let's walk in the light this year. Let's be stewards of that. Let's seek that. Let's be really, really good scholars of the word of God. Don't be blind. I said right at the beginning in worship, let's not be blind. Let's see the truth. Let's hear a song on the radio and realize, oh, that's a little bit out. Let's know the gray zones of what's right and what's wrong. Let's not be caught in our own deceptions of our own opinions. Opinions don't count in eternity when we stand before a holy God and he says, true. I have loved you, but you turned away from my wisdom. Come on, guys, let's be scholars. Let's say that. Let's be scholars.
Let's be scholars.
Let's walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's walk in the truth. Love you guys. We're going to have a great year this year.
The one great thing about becoming a scholar of the word is it is not based on your past education. So it doesn't matter where you come from in life. It doesn't matter if you're educated or you're uneducated. It doesn't matter if you have a hard time reading right now or you're a great reader. It doesn't matter. God said 2013 is your big growth year. Yes. And so each one of us receives that upon our life and we begin to go forward in an incredible way. Close your eyes this morning for a moment. 2013, Church of Champions. And I declare this morning over the people in this house, I declare you are a church of champions. I declare the word champions over your people this morning, God, as you have given it to us and you have proclaimed it over them this morning. I declare it over their life that they are a church of champions. That they are on the rise, that they are moving forward. And God, that this year is going to be an incredible year for them personally and for this house. And Father, we thank you for it. 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 In Jesus' name.
Thank you for your direction.
Now this morning, with every eye closed for a moment, I want to ask if there's anybody here and you say, I've never given my life to Jesus. The first step in becoming part of the Church of Champions is you begin to enter into the kingdom. And you do that by accepting the Son, Jesus, as your personal Lord, as the personal leader of your life. And oftentimes we've heard the Christmas story, we've heard the Easter story, and we understand about Christ, but it has not become personal in our life where he now has a position as a leader, as the leader in our life. And if you're in this place this morning and you've never made Jesus the leader of your life, or you have in the past and you've walked away and you've given that leadership back to yourself and you've taken it back on again, and this morning you simply need to say, Jesus, I put you in the place of leadership in my life. I recognize that you want to make me into an incredible champion. And God, I want to go there with you, but God, I need you to be the leader in my life. This morning, if that's you, with no one looking around for a moment, just simply slip up your hand this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you. Not going to bring you up to the front. We're going to pray right from where you are this morning, but I want to believe God. This is the starting point. I believe this is the greatest thing that you can do in a new year, is you step out of leading your own life and you step into saying, God, I need you as the leader of my life.
Yes.
You've heard us talking this morning about what God wants to do, the incredible things he wants to do this year in the house. And you say, God, I want that on my life, but God, I need you as the leader of my life first. I want to ask just one more time this morning, is there anybody else this morning who says, I need to do that this morning? Lift your hand if it's you. Okay, thank you. What I want to do this morning, thank you, is I want to pray this morning. Anybody else? You can still lift your hand. There's still hands going up this morning. Anybody else this morning? Okay, thank you. Let's pray this morning. I believe this prayer, each one of us can engage in this prayer and really bring it back to the basics, where we say, God, I want to go forward this year. Even as God declared 2013 is your big growth year, where you're going to grow like never before. And as we do that, we say, God, I need you to be the leader of my life to take on that kind of growth. God says, I want to make your name great. I want to do something with your name, which is your influence and your ability to affect and influence people. God, I need you to be the leader of my life to
Please.
Do it. When you say, God says, I want you to have finances, and I want you to begin to sow and give offerings like never before, and I want to bring back an increase to you so you can sow again. God, I need you to be the leader of my life. Intimacy, drawing close to God. God, I need you in that leadership role. P, prospering in every area of our life. It's saying, God, I need you as the leader of my life. M, the multitudes. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, which can seem like this overwhelming vision, but God, if you are the leader of my life, you and me are a majority. The letter A, alignment, of aligning our life properly, just getting it back into align with God. It's by saying, Jesus, I need you as the leader of my life. The letter H, saying happiness. God, a state of being happy, not moved by circumstances, not moved by situations where we're teetered up and down, but we are in a state of happiness, comes by saying, Jesus, I trust you because you are the leader of my life. And the letter C, of confession, whatever I speak, whatever I confess, I possess.
Yes.
My reality begins to happen by what comes out of the abundance of my heart. Jesus, I need you to be the leader of my life. And this morning, I believe that as a church this morning, we need to declare that over our life. And so I simply want to invite you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Those who've lifted their hand for salvation, those who've lifted their hands for rededication this morning, we want to join you this morning in this prayer by declaring, Jesus, we need you as the leader of our life.
Yes.
So I encourage you to pray this prayer with me and say, God,
God,
you sent
your son
to die on the cross,
for me,
for the person beside me,
for this house,
and
for that,
I am thankful.
This morning, Jesus,
I open the door of my heart,
and I invite you
to be the leader,
of my life.
Do your great. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.